Welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 55.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
Today on the podcast, we bring you our interview with Bailey Angle, the radio broadcaster for the Bluefield Blue Jays. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. We're brought to you by the 2016 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the premium content section of Blue Jays From Away. This year's edition features profiles of over 200 players in the Toronto Blue Jays organization while giving you all of the info you need to follow the Blue Jays minor leaguers in action. The premium content section has video, photos, and scouting reports to supplement the profiles. The 2016 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the Blue Jays From Away premium content section. We've got you covered.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by Bailey Angle, the Director of Media Relations and Radio Announcer for the Bluefield Blue Jays. Welcome to the podcast.
And it's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, of course, being good to be here, we're here in Bluefield, so you haven't relocated geographically. I've come down to see the Bluefield Blue Jays and caught the end of a suspended game, and we're now sort of sitting and waiting to see what the rain is going to do as the tarp covers the field. How have you dealt with rain delays here in Bluefield?
Well, this is our third one on the year now, Jay. So it's been kind of tough. This one's a little bit better than the one we saw for opening day. You know, I'm nervous making my professional debut, and then in around the fourth or fifth inning, this rain comes down. I'm just trying to figure out how to solve problems. But hey, you know, we're in the elevation. Rain can happen like this all of the time, so you got to be ready for it.
So you mentioned this is your professional debut as a broadcaster. Is this sort of your lifelong career that you want to get into? Are you studying broadcasting and media relations in college?
Yes, it's actually something I've always wanted to do since I was about 8 years old. I'm an upcoming senior at Virginia Tech, and I actually have two majors. I'm a communication major with a focus in multimedia journalism, as well as a history major. So it's actually both schools in the College of Liberal Arts and Human Sciences. But to answer your question, this is what I've always wanted to do, and I'm living my dream. So
now, you know, this is a coveted chair in professional baseball broadcasting. It's launched the career of Trey Wilson and also Kevin Fitzgerald, who I have met up with in Fort Wayne in A-ball. So is that your goal, is to do a year or two here and then see if you can find a job further up the line somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I like to put myself on the same idea as a lot of these players. And, you know, obviously they're a lot more athletically talented than me, but they're trying to move up and get better as well. So that's what I'm trying to do, just build up, you know, a resume, a good demo for myself, and then be able to move up in the ranks of professional baseball.
So if any of you listeners are out there listening and say, how do I become a professional baseball broadcaster? You've just got to be Bailey Angle. You've got to study at a university. You've got to go out there and get a job with a professional baseball team and get that experience under your belt.
Yeah, well, if I can give any professional advice, and I don't want to sound like an old man here. I'm not that wise. I'm just 21 years old. But, you know, don't be afraid to say no and take all the opportunities you can get. The guy that was a broadcaster last year, Danny Noakes, is actually a college intern of mine that we actually were in the same internship together back at Virginia Tech. And when he went to the Pulaski Yankees this year, he told me that this was open and it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit baseball now. We've talked some broadcasting. You know, what have you seen in the, you know, I'm sure you have a major league team that's sort of your team that you grew up watching. And if it's not the Blue Jays, we do understand, I guess, and forgive you a little bit. But, you know, what is it like watching rookie league baseball?
It's actually pretty incredible, because I think about these guys It's the first time they've ever been away from home for a lot of them, especially a lot of these Latin guys getting taken, and then they'll have to play a couple of years in the Dominican Summer League. So they're learning. You know, it's not always the prettiest style of play defensively as well as offensively, but it's cool to see them develop and just try to learn how to become professionals both on and off the field.
Now, as somebody who watches these players day in and day out, can you tell when there's somebody who's really special out there? There's somebody who has all the talent, but maybe just has to polish it up.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you want to talk about a guy exactly like that, and talk about our right fielder today, Earl Burrell III, a guy who is incredibly focused and just talks about nothing but baseball, an all-around awesome clubhouse presence. But then, you know, you talk about things that he has to improve on, and, you know, I see him out here and I see him struggle, but I know that he's trying to strive through it. So I think that parallels a lot of other efforts that we see out of rookie ball players.
Now, it's an interesting mix of players because you have the Latin American players who are coming probably their first or second year out of the Dominican Summer League. Some have played in the Gulf Coast League for the Blue Jays. Others haven't, so it's almost a direct jump. You've also got some college players who are coming here to help fill out the roster and to make it their first stop on their professional baseball journey. And then you've got some high schoolers who are generally in their second year of playing. You know, how do you think that mix works in the clubhouse?
Well, if you talk about, you know, you brought up the Latin guys, it's kind of tough because, you know, they haven't been stateside long enough to really perfect the English language, and it's going to take years before they do that. So there's definitely a cultural, not divide, but challenge between the Latin guys and the American and the Canadian guys, or even the Central American guys that have been able to speak English a little bit longer because they've been a little bit closer, better education, and so forth. But, you know, they're just all learning how to be professionals, and, you know, they're brought out of, you know, kind of lax baseball environments to here, where you got a guy like Dennis Holmberg that's been in the professional baseball business for over 40 years and expecting these guys that are, what, 20, 21, 22, 23, maybe even low as 17 with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., just trying to mold them into professionals, which can sometimes be a challenge, but it's still cool to see how this year has molded them.
Now, we will get to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Everybody, I'm sure, wants to hear about Vladdy. But let's get to a guy who was in the news very recently, and that's Hansel Rodriguez, who was just traded by the Blue Jays for Melvin Upton Jr. What did you see out of Hansel Rodriguez?
Well, Hansel Rodriguez was definitely a focused pitcher. And I say that because on and off the field, he was just always had a stern face. I think I saw him laugh maybe two or three times, but I think that was something that the coaches liked out of him because it transformed into his pitching as well, because he had great command, had a fastball that worked in the mid to low 90s, and then something he was trying to work on was an off-speed pitch, and he developed a great slider. So I think the Padres are getting a guy with a lot of potential. And, you know, I know that Toronto needed to focus on a need for them, but for this Bluefield team, it's going to be tough to replace him.
Okay, well, now we've talked a little bit about Hansel, let's talk about Vladimir. What have you seen? I mean, he's 17 years old. I mean, I've seen a little bit of him. I saw a couple of his at-bats today. I've seen him in spring training. What do you see when you see him day in, day out? You know, what does that help you learn about the player and about, you know, it's hard to call him a man, he's so young, but about the person?
Well, you know, first off, I'm going to start focusing on how he actually plays. At the plate, absolutely incredibly violent swings pulling into left field. I've never seen anything like it. He chases on a few off-speed pitches, hitting about 250 right now, but has the most power of anybody on the team. And then you think about him being put at third base, and he has improved so much this year. Signed last year in 2015, thinking he was going to be a right fielder, and then they put him in the hot corner in his first year of professional play. And then we talk about how he's progressed, and I think that's also paralleled how he's growing up as a person. I mean, here's a 17-year-old kid. He's never really been away from home before. His roommates have to cook for him, but at the same time, that childish-like attitude transforms into being a leader out there because he's having the most fun. After big base hits, I remember we were playing the Greenville Astros a couple of weeks ago in Greenville, Tennessee, and he hit a double in the top of, I think, the 15th inning. We were there for 6 hours. And then he got up, second base, and then started fist pumping. He's so excited. And that really transforms a lot of energy, or transports, rather, a lot of energy to his fellow players. And I think that they roll off of that.
Now, a player who actually just also left the club is Nash Knight, who I've been nicknaming Mash. He was leading the Appalachian League in batting average, I think, when he was promoted. What was he bringing to this club?
Well, Nash, I got to be honest with you, was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. So he was just an all-around great clubhouse person, and just a good person overall. But here's a guy that's a switch hitter, undrafted, out of Dallas Baptist, brought in here and just absolutely, you know, played with intensity every day. A switch hitter that had a lot more power hitting towards right field, but when he was batting right-handed, he could poke a lot of balls through the gap. And here's another guy that, you know, started out the year not thinking he was going to play that much, but then he started hitting, and then he started progressing, playing in the middle of the infield. But the Vancouver Canadiens are getting a really good utility guy because he can play anywhere in the infield. He can even catch. We've seen him play a first, third, short, and second this year.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the guys that sort of have caught your eye over the past year? There's a lot of names on this club that probably aren't that familiar to some of our listeners and some of the readers at Blue Jays From Away. Who's really caught your eye that you think people should be really paying attention to?
I think that our starter for game one of this series, Osman Gutierrez, he was second. He had the second best command on this team. He's a big right-handed pitcher out of León, Nicaragua. Has a problem sometimes leaving that fastball up, but when he leaves it low in the zone, he's almost unhittable. And then we talk about guys that maybe Blue Jays fans have heard of, a couple of top 30 prospects like Reggie Pruitt, who has struggled this year, but he has unmatched speed. So when he actually puts the bat on the ball, which he has struggled with doing, hitting a little bit over 200, but tonight a couple of singles for him, it's very tough for defenses to throw him out at first. And then you talk about other pitchers. Connor Eller has been somebody that nobody really expected coming out of Wachita Baptist College, a small D2 in Arkansas. And really unorthodox delivery. Antonio Castres, our pitching coach here, is really trying to figure out how to use him because he started games, he's came in relief, and he has 3 saves on the season as well. So I think he's going to be a reliever from now on. But to answer your question, Jay, I think that Connor Eller definitely is a guy that has caught my eye that a lot of Blue Jays fans might not know about.
Well, just in the what I was able to see of this game, Reggie Pruitt made a beautiful catch in center field that impressed me, not because he had to dive like Nick Sine did or slide to catch the ball, but he just glided to the ball, which I think will remind a lot of Blue Jays fans of Devon White, whose defense never looked like he was working all that hard. Is that characteristic of what Reggie Pruitt has been doing defensively?
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately for Reggie, we haven't seen him in that many games this year because he had to miss 10 games due to a leg injury in which he was legging out a bunt. He was safe. But you're right. You're absolutely right. On a fly ball hit to center field, it looked like for any other center fielder, they had to be on their horse to make that catch. And he just galloped out there and threw the glove out and made an easy catch. And you're right. I think that's something he brings to this ball club.
Now, also on the defensive side, something we've seen today, I saw Jesus Severino, the shortstop from, I think he's from the Dominican Republic. He made a very solid play at shortstop, showing good hands. And the relay that he made to start a double play, a very unusual double play in the top of the 10th inning, the relay he made, just the transfer from his glove to his throwing arm and the accuracy and the strength on the throw was very impressive.
Yeah, he's a guy with a ton of defensive athleticism. He's definitely been our best shortstop this year. He's a staple in that shortstop position. Sometimes we mix it up with Wandy Mendoza to be put there, but there's really not another better choice on this ball club that can play in the middle of the infield at shortstop. He's another guy that has to work on his hitting. He's a switch hitter. It's a little bit better left-handed, but, you know, for a 19-year-old kid, he's been playing with a ton of maturity out there at shortstop.
Well, another player I noticed who had some trouble switch hitting at the beginning of last year, who has really turned it on this year in the past, I'd say, 3 to 4 weeks, is Richard Urania, who's now in Dunedin. And he's hitting almost 300 now. And when I saw him last year at the beginning of the year, his His right-handed swing looked just messy. But by the end of the season, it really came around. So perhaps Severino is another defensively-minded shortstop who may have some upside with the bat once he evens out the sides of his switch hitting.
Right. And, you know, I talk about that, and even recently, Severino's starting to even out. He had two RBI singles in the final win against the Kingsport Mets. And, you know, he's a guy that makes a lot of contact and very quick on the base path, so he's definitely a weapon for us in the Appy League.
Now, also in the first game, we had a big two-run home run from Levi Scott. Levi pretty much crushed the ball out to left center field. It was, I wouldn't call it a no-doubter, but it definitely cleared the fence by several feet. And, you know, what have you seen from him so far this year?
Well, Levi Scott, it was funny, a couple of weeks ago when the TSN guys were here filming Vlad's special, we were just sitting there and I was talking to him and he was like, you know, this is the hardest 220 I've hit in my entire life. And he's improved from that statistically since then. But here's a guy that makes a lot of contact, a lot of deep balls hit by him. But unfortunately, to start the season, they were just right at the outfielders. But we're seeing in these past couple of games, starting to make a little bit more clutch hits, dropping them in the gap. And we saw a home run against the Kingsport Mets in our last series. And then tonight, tying it up in the eighth. Unfortunately, Blue Jays not able to get the win. But he has a lot of power both in left and opposite field hitting, because we've seen four home runs out of him this year, and a couple of them have been driven down the right field line.
Well, that's always good to see, and he is an older player. He's a college guy. So what could we expect to see from these Bluefield Blue Jays the rest of the way? About a month left in the season now. We're into the end of July. What are we going to be seeing from this club down the rest of the way?
Well, this is a team that fights hard. You know, although that Bluefield is 16-17, a losing record, none of these games have been total destruction by the other team. They're always very close, and we've just lost to the Greenville Astros in extra innings again. I think our closest or our longest loss to them was by 2 runs. So, you know, this is a team that really fights until the end and drops some close losses, but very talented ball clubs, just got to finish. So as we're now in the later part of July and then moving on into August, trying to make a playoff push, we got to see if they can mop up some of those inconsistencies at the end of games to try to make a push for the Appy League East.
All right. Well, we're also hoping that we get some playoff action for some of these guys. I think the Blue Jays like to see their guys playing in the playoffs, and we hope that Vladdy in his first professional year gets that chance. We also hope that for the rest of the guys. And we'll touch base with you throughout the rest of the season a little bit, but it's great to be here, great to meet you, and thanks for joining us on the podcast.
All right, thanks, Jay. It was cool.
That's it for episode number 55 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Bailey Engel for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back soon and go Jays go.